Everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. I'm very pleased to be back with you. I hope that you had a nice, relaxing time over Easter. There was a nice message on the Good Friday from Saint Germain, which of course I read on the programme on that very day, and the Easter period was concluded by another one from Saint Germain, and a little later in the programme I will come to that, because I think it makes a nice follow-on to what originally came through. The two are obviously connected in some ways, and both of course refer to the energies of Easter and the effects they have. As usual, my first port of call is Sheldon Nidal's message for this week, and they never fail to amaze me at the amount of detail in the messages and how uplifting and encouraging they are. This week, the Spiritual Hierarchy and Galactic Federation that speak through Sheldon Nidal told us that our world continues to progress despite the negative efforts of the last dark cabal, and that right now we are at a point where our Earth allies have moved ahead with their plans to oust this cabal from power. And the message reads, if you look closely at developments around your planet, you can discern just how much their grip on your reality has eroded. Many things are in place for this coup, while others are just starting to take shape. The purpose of all this action is to give America and your world a vastly different look. By this we mean that the secret agreements for redirecting your reality are quite close to manifesting. On the surface, much still appears the same. Subtly enforced no-go areas do wonders in limiting what the mainstream media allows into the public domain. However, if you look under the hood, you clearly see the widening crevices and hear the cracking of this dark cabal's once solid foundation. As this foundation splits apart, the opportunities for a new reality to push through the cracks grow exponentially. The message goes on to say that on other fronts you are progressing remarkably well toward full consciousness. It is this growth in awareness that is rapidly becoming a substantial stumbling block to the dark cabal's agenda. Your work to realign the subtle grids of this reality and your committed intentions have permitted many to awaken faster than was expected. Moreover, your inner work has thwarted much of what the dark hoped to realize. Despite their incredible financial and economic resources, they have been prevented by our joint efforts from derailing your ever-growing rise in consciousness. As this inner work of positive intention grows, the work that we are doing becomes easier to accomplish. Terrorism, sponsored by the powerful, is designed to spread fear and increase chaos. Your work has limited this fear and thus prevented the chaos from reaching critical mass. This grid of rising consciousness is to be one of the mainstays that assure first contact. A little later in the message, he refers to their fleet, which it is said has taken on a most fluid operational construct. First contact includes tasks that change with each day and that adapt enormously with each year. A vital predicating factor is your rate of inner growth, which greatly impacts this degree of fluidity. As more of you expand your state of consciousness, the nature and makeup of our medical teams adjust to match your changes, and likewise the number of teams that each of you requires increases. Hence our personnel expands daily. Teaching and supervising these teams has become a major responsibility for our command board. Motherships in our inner ring have now devoted their full time and energy to this endeavour. The science mission has likewise taken on expanded duties as Mother Earth follows this same path. This acceleration of our duties signals to us that first contact does indeed draw close. The assignment of our diplomatic and liaison teams, as you can see, is a difficult one. Aware of the challenges of our environment, we must yet progress at a faster pace. Many on your world labour under a false sense of unworthiness instilled during birth and childhood. This emotional pain causes much in your society to operate in a deceitful manner. To resolve this dilemma, we have decided to use special consciousness gifts to overcome these difficulties. It is easy for a society founded on truth to work together, cooperatively and respectfully. Societies based on lies and disrespect are much harder to redirect. Pervasive anxiety and mistrust are deeply imbued in you, and we plan to overcome this condition with love and respect wherever we go. Happily, this procedure has begun to put us in your good graces, and this augurs well for our mutual victory. The message goes on to say that what we have done is adjust our plan to your ongoing agenda. This means that we need to push you in the right directions while watching for the optimum moment to arrive en masse. This strategy gives us some leeway while allowing us to expedite direct contact with you. This first contact operation is determined to move you beyond your present qualms and simultaneously to provide the means to support the workings of our Earth allies. I have to comment there that it's interesting to hear again confirmed that there is going to be a time when they will arrive en masse. But my understanding is that initially there will be some smaller displays and perhaps contact with people, for example, in the main capitals or cities of the different countries as an initial contact. Message goes on to say that the quiet revolution currently underway has taken millennia to get to this point. The goal is to return you to full consciousness and end the incessant harassment of the dark. This time around, the departure of the Anunnaki opened doorways of opportunity not available before. Some 10,000 years ago, a great global flood stopped a consciousness rebellion dead in its tracks. This dire act of retribution was a sign to the human survivors that any sort of surliness to the rule of the sky gods was not to be tolerated. This horrendous act put your distant ancestors and even yourselves at their dark mercy. Today, this option has been eliminated. And I would say there that from earlier messages, in case you didn't see them, it has been said that the Anunnaki have now left the Earth, and their main leaders, that is, the ones who are known in the ancient Sumerian text, that is, Enki and Enlil, have now moved over to the light and come to us now through some channels, and will come to us after first contact to, I suppose, in a manner of speaking, undo some of the harm that their reign upon Earth caused. So that is, again, is very encouraging. Final part of the message that I'll just read out is saying that today, which of course was Tuesday this week, we reviewed the present situation on your world. This was done to reassure you that the promised ousting of the Dark Cabal is indeed close to happening. So again, that's reassuring, and I find indeed from many other messages that have come through that there is a very upbeat feeling about the removal of the last cabal, and one has to feel that it is indeed very, very close at this time. Certainly with the military, whether they're retired or not, coming out, if you like, in rebellion against Bush and his gang, this clearly doesn't augur well for their stay in government. So let us hope that there is a lot going on of which we wouldn't be party to or know very much about. And perhaps one day, very soon, we will get the surprise of our life when we hear that there's been some sort of coup. Right, now I come to general news. Week on week, there are always some interesting bits of information floating around. And often what I do is take extracts, because where I can give you some reference to where the information has come from, and particularly the website, I do give it. So if you want to, you can find out the full message by going direct. Part of the message that was passed around, which I received last Friday, really makes the heart warm, I think, because it was headed, "Military recruiters confronted by crowd leave campus job fair." And the actual report here says, "Four military recruiters hastily fled a job fair at UC Santa Cruz after a raucous crowd of student protesters blocked an entrance to the building where the Army and National Guard had set up information tables. Members of Students Against War, who organized the counter-recruiting protest, loudly chanted, 'Don't come back, don't come back,' as the recruiters left the hilltop campus escorted by several university police officers." Unfortunately, in the email extract that I have, it doesn't actually refer to the source of that information. So I'm sorry, I can't actually give you a lead on that particular one. News that's come through today, which follows up another extract I took from an email that was circulating during the week, relates to the problems in Kathmandu in Nepal. And the extract I had, which read, "Nepal's sideline political parties called for a massive pro-democracy protest in the capital on Thursday." That was, of course, yesterday. "And urged citizens to stop paying taxes and utility bills to help bring down the royal government." Well, I heard on our news this evening that the king has, in fact, offered to stand down. So hopefully that means a wonderful success there for the people. And as the article on TV said, this is people power. And that's indeed what we want more of. A report again came through on the email, and it was headed, "NSA intercepting all AT&T customers' internet traffic." Haven't got a lot of details here, but this one was posted, I believe, by J.R. Webb. And it came from linuxelectrons.com. And it read that "the evidence that we are filing supports our claim that AT&T is diverting internet traffic into the hands of the NSA wholesale in violation of federal wiretapping laws and the Fourth Amendment." And that was said by EFF staff attorney Kevin Bankston. And he said, "more than just threatening individuals' privacy, AT&T's apparent choice to give the government secret direct access to millions of ordinary Americans' internet communications is a threat to the Constitution itself. We are asking the court to put a stop to it now." And then a little later in this report, I have it said that the internal AT&T documents and portions of the supporting declarations have been submitted to the court under a tentative seal, a procedure that allows AT&T 5 court days to explain to the court why the information should be kept from the public. And the report reads, "the public deserves to know about AT&T's illegal program," says EFF legal director Cindy Cohn. "In an abundance of caution, we are providing AT&T with an opportunity to explain itself before this material goes on the public docket. But we believe that justice will ultimately require full disclosure." Apparently, the NSA program came to light in December when the New York Times reported that the president had authorized the agency to intercept telephone and internet communications inside the United States, without the authorization of any court. So there we are. It's a subject that's cropped up before, but it's nice to know that someone is approaching it with a view to trying to put a stop to it. So there we are. That's an interesting one that no doubt we will read some more about as that develops. A report that came off a website, OSS.net, was headed, "The Bush Administration May Be Destroying the US Dollar." And it read that, "According to our sources in the US Treasury, the White House has secretly ordered the Federal Reserve to print $2 trillion immediately and put into circulation. Our sources in the Treasury are flabbergasted. It means the collapse of the US dollar's value and probably presages the downfall of the Bush administration. This information has been corroborated by three separate US Treasury sources." And it goes on to say that 6 months ago, the Federal Reserve quietly announced that as of March the 20th this year, they would no longer publish what they call M3 data. Now, the M3 was the amount of cash the government printed to put into circulation, propping up the US economy. As of 8 days ago, M3 data is no longer being reported, so there is no way for the public, investors or bondholders to know how much currency exists, and no way to gauge how much a dollar is truly worth. And as they said, three separate sources in the US Treasury told them this week that the Federal Reserve ordered $2 trillion to be printed secretly. And the US Treasury is allegedly running printing presses on the 24th of July to accommodate that order. So there you are, that's all I'm reading from that particular extract. As I said, you can read the full story on OSS.net. That's it, really. I think we've known for a long time that it's perhaps most countries print notes when they need to put a bit more money into circulation, and it isn't always backed by precious metals, so I think it's true to say that those lumps of paper really are worthless. Now, from Rens.com, a very good site for information, I saw an email again this week, article by Greg Szymanski, and he was talking about the Patrick Fitzgerald investigation and saying that it is spilling over across the pond to Switzerland, where they're trying to trace the bank swindling and dirty dealings of Clinton Bush bagman and Mossad agent Mark Rich. And apparently sources near Fitzgerald claim the crime bust in Chicago's special prosecutor is delving into why Rich was tipped off and able to evade a 1993 arrest attempt ordered by FBI Director William Sessions. And those watching the Plaingate investigation hope Fitzgerald is the real deal, and not just providing a neocon dog and pony show, but sources claim the investigation is now meticulously looking into bank swindles by the Bush-Clinton mob, amounting to more than $1 trillion involving money earmarked for the US Treasury, and bank account records tracing more than $750 billion of missing or stolen money have already provided as public record by Leo Wonter, the former US Treasury agent assigned by Sessions to put the finger on Rich. And finally, I'll just report from that article. It said that in a telephone conversation Friday, Wonter said he still keeps the official 1993 Rich arrest warrant as proof positive the events took place as he reported. So there you are. It does make you think that there are a few more nails in the coffin of what he calls the Bush-Clinton mob, and we have yet another revelation of some of the seedy goings-on that have happened with the government over the last years. Again from Rens.com, this goes back to the 18th of April, which of course was early on in this week, a former top economist in the Bush's Department of Labour, Morgan Reynolds, is apparently going to speak out on the 9/11 inside job at the State Historical Society, University of Wisconsin-Madison on Saturday, May the 6th. Now, the article here is about his talk and video, and he is a Bush defector, and he is prepared to demolish the 9/11 lies on that date. Now, it says that Dr. Reynolds, who holds three UW-Madison degrees and who is currently Professor of Economics at Texas A&M University, will present evidence that top Bush administration officials orchestrated the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center and the murder of almost 2,500 Americans as a pretext for initiating their pre-planned long war in the Middle East. And he quotes, "While more Americans doubt the 9/11 story every week, evidence abounds that many have a mental block against rational examination at the evidence, of the evidence about 9/11, so writes Dr. Reynolds in a recent article. And this mental block, he thinks, amounts to willful ignorance, not just about 9/11, but about history. And he says, governments throughout history have provoked or staged attacks on their own people to serve the powers behind the throne. And he refers to those as being the money power. To glorify themselves, engage in vast government spending, reward friends, exert domestic control, stimulate the juices of war, annex neighbors, and pursue vast geostrategic rearrangements." And he calls that the global domination project. And Reynolds asserts, he notes, that every member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff signed off on the Operation Northwoods plan to murder Americans in fake Cuban terrorist attacks in 1962. He said, "The planned Operation Northwoods murders of ordinary Americans in fake terrorist bombings and a fake airliner shootdown would have involved hundreds of military and intelligence personnel. Yet the existence of Operation Northwoods was successfully kept secret from the American people for 40 years until James Spanford revealed it in his book, Body of Secrets, which was published in January 2002. So there you are. Yet another person that has taken up the flag to fly for the truth to come out about 9/11. And there you are. This is something still to come. So I'll repeat it again that it's Morgan Reynolds who is going to hold a meeting at the University of Wisconsin-Madison on Saturday, May the 6th. There we are. You can get a bit more information, obviously, on that by going to the website, rens.com. Now, yesterday, an email was circulated from the, again, a very good website, truthout.org, and I've got a short extract here because it's something relating to the grand jury hearing evidence against Karl Rove. And it says that the grand jury session yesterday in federal court in Washington, D.C., sources close to the case said was the first time this year that Special Prosecutor Fitzgerald told the jurors that he would soon present them with a list of criminal charges he intends to file against Karl Rove, in hopes of having the grand jury return a multi-count indictment. In an interview with Jason Leopold on Wednesday, Rove's attorney, Robert Luskin, confirmed that Rove remains a subject of Fitzgerald's two-year-old probe. There are, that man Patrick Fitzgerald's been probing around for a long time. I never realised it was that long. Now today, there was an interesting email. The article in it was by James F. Ransdell, and as far as I can see, this has originated from the site roxannephones.com, and it was circulated under the heading of What Gas Shortage And James F. Ryanshaw was saying, I just think everyone should know, I am a tugboat sailor. The gas shortage is total bogus. There are fleets all up and down the Gulf Coast that you don't know about. They consist of hundreds and thousands of tank barges that we tie up daily that are filled with millions of gallons of fuel. The big companies pump their fuel into the barges, and as long as the fuel is in a barge, it is considered offshore and not part of the reserve. So there are millions of gallons of fuel tied up to spud barges all through the bays, intracoastal inlets and canals, all up and down the coast that the companies don't have to report. They fabricate the shortage by pumping their millions of gallons of fuel and hide them in these fleets, creating the shortage so they can make their multi-billion dollar gains while we can't afford the gas at the pump. I've never asked in my life anyone to forward anything, but this has me fuming. With many voices, we can put a stop to this. So, again, that's interesting. I mean, we have to accept, I guess, that it's genuine, first-hand experience or knowledge from James F. Ransdell. I think the original site this came from, or where it ended up, was mangosteenexperiences.com. But there you are. You've got the gist of that. Finally, in my general news item, there was also again today a rapid response media alert, and it was headed demonizing Iran. And this is from Media Lens. And they were referring to a recent speech at New York's Columbia University by John Pilger. Now, John Pilger is a British journalist who is extremely well respected for his honest and very detailed reporting. So I think those of us who seek the truth have a lot of time for what John Pilger has to say. And he has said, we now know that the BBC and other British media were used by MI6, the Secret Intelligence Service, in what was called Operation Mass Appeal. MI6 agents planted stories about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, such as weapons hidden in his palaces and in secret underground bunkers. All these stories were fake. And that extract is from John Pilger's article titled The Real First Casualty of War, and that was in the New Statesman on the 24th of April this year, which seems to be a mistake, doesn't it, in the date. I suspect that might have been meant to be the 14th, but there we are. It goes on to say that wittingly or otherwise, the BBC may now be participating in a rehashed Operation Mass Appeal to generate support for an assault on Iran. Consider the focus of yesterday's BBC online article, Mideast Executions Are Condemned. And the article went as follows. Amnesty and International has said that Iran executed 94 people in 2005, while 86 were executed in Saudi Arabia. Iran, the rights group said, was the only country known to have executed juvenile offenders in 2005. At least 8 people were killed for crimes committed when they were children, including 2 who were still under 18 at the time of execution. And it also went on to say that some detainees in Saudi Arabia have been tried and sentenced in a language they did not speak or read. Now, the point of it is, and the report says, compare and contrast the above with the opening paragraph of yesterday's Amnesty International press release. And it read, death penalty, 20,000 on death row across the world, from which the information was taken. And it goes on to say, Amnesty International today revealed that 20,000 people on death row across the world are waiting to be killed by their own governments. In its latest annual analysis on the use of the death penalty worldwide, Amnesty International also disclosed that at least 2,148 people were executed during 2005 in 22 countries, 94% in China, Iran, Saudi Arabia and USA alone. 5,186 people were sentenced to death in 53 countries during 2005. So that shows you, obviously, by comparison, the countries where executions take place on such a large scale. Now, the whole article does go on to mention other aspects about the use of the death penalty in these various countries, but I think it's well made the point that if you read the Amnesty International report, you have to question why the BBC simply took out the part that showed Iran in a bad light. And we have to think that was deliberately done, as they are, I suppose, considered to be, in a political context, one of our enemies. But there you are. That's all I have on the, what I call the general news. Now what I would like to do is to just refer to my messages of the week. And I'll only read out the one, but I will read it out fully. And that was the one immediately after the Easter period, when Saint Germain came through again, and he said as follows: "What started out as a great energy for change in America has rippled out, and the phenomenon has become worldwide. As you will have noted recently, there have been many demonstrations against ruling parties in various countries. There is a mood growing that spells disaster for those who oppose it, as an energy created must follow its natural course to manifestation. This time has been coming slowly but surely, as more and more people have awoken to the path that the dark forces have planned for Earth and humanity. Now the people are exercising their own mighty power, and it is engulfing the dark. Unavoidable outbursts of an emotional nature will inevitably lead to some form of aggression against those in power. We would wish that it could be averted, but sometimes it happens as an outlet for pent-up energy. Almost on a daily basis, the changes are coming thick and fast, and we see a great exposure bringing out the truth. Now its momentum has started, it cannot be stopped, and those who have hidden their dark activities behind the cloak of respectability are being revealed for their true colours. Right now, the pressure is becoming unbearable upon your government, who are being attacked from all sides. They are in retreat and clinging to power, using whatever means they can to do so. It will be to no avail, as their time is all but finished, and they are presently trying to brush off the demands of the retired generals for the removal of Rumsfeld. These types of situations will persist and will grow in intensity the longer it goes on. Of course, it goes deeper, as they know people are taking full notice of what has been said about the incompetence and the covert actions of your leaders. The government are now like a pack of cards waiting to fall, and once they start, there will be no stopping until all of them are removed. Dear ones, the light has never been stronger and continues to grow, and it will strengthen the hand of anyone who is prepared to step forward and take action. We do not, however, advocate violence in any form, and never will, as when you have right on your side, it is unnecessary. You have progressed so far through the words of truth that have shown up the devious plans and heinous actions of the Illuminati. If you ever needed proof that these are the end times, you are now witnessing the final thrust. As one energy loses its power, another is ready to take its place. All of the dedicated work, both on and off world, that has been shaping the future is becoming apparent. The movement against the old ways, the working and the erosion of your rights is no longer acceptable. This has indeed been the challenge, to see whether you would oppose the actions of those who have gradually been making a prison for you out of Earth. Fortunately, the changes in your way of thinking have allowed you to understand how the dark changes in your way of thinking have allowed you to understand how the dark operate. You have realized that it is only you that can take back your sovereignty, but once you act, we can follow with our help. What you have achieved so far has ensured the plans for the end time will work out, and the light will acclaim its victory. You may not view it as war, but it has been one monumental battle for the control of your souls and therefore your destiny. Looking at the larger picture, you may be assured that nothing will now stop the changes from fully manifesting. You have some very interesting and exciting months ahead, but for the moment, must concentrate on the task in hand to remove your government. It is taking some brave souls to stand up for the dark and at some risk to themselves. However, it is at such times that your heroes come forward and take a lead that others can follow. Know for certain that wonderful souls of light have incarnated into this period of time specifically to take part in these events. They need all of your support, and you know by now that they certainly have ours. Meantime, the prospect of first contact advances ever nearer, and if any were previously in doubt about its purpose, it should by now have become apparent how essential its benefits are to everyone. You need, as you return, a quick fix, and there is so much to attend to that is a matter of urgency. Mother Earth patiently waits for help and has held back her own ways of creating the necessary changes to Earth. It would certainly be best that they are coordinated through the Galactic Federation teams, and you too can be party to them, and together we can ensure the least inconvenience. The plans are already waiting to be implemented and will rapidly restore Earth to its former beauty. Once in our control, the degree of personal loss and damage from the changes will be minimal. We shall all play our part in the wonderful show of cooperation with you, and how, with the right leadership, that humanity can work together. The will is already there, and soon there will also be the opportunity. As Easter slips away, so I can tell you that your prayers and thoughts calling for peace reached a new zenith, and know that they are being answered. Peace is all but here, and one of the first actions of the Galactic Federation will be to put an immediate stop to all wars. They can steal the weapons of war, and they will therefore collapse, as they will no longer be able to continue. And that message was concluded by, I am Saint Germain, and I must congratulate the light workers for bringing more pressure to bear upon the dark. They are creating a path that others follow, and have earned their trust through integrity and loyalty to the light. Many now accept that major changes are necessary, and even if they cannot see the whole picture, they have sufficient knowledge to grasp what important times these are for everyone. I tell you that the whole of this last cycle and this immediate period will be the peak of your experiences, and it will uplift you, as it is the final piece that lifts your vibration onto the higher levels. From there, it is only one way forward, ever more reaching into the light and leaving the dark behind, never to return to the lower levels. Let us all take the peace and love generated through the Easter celebrations with us, and not let it ever wane, but maintain its ability to uplift all around us. I thank you all for your contributions, as each one is as important as the other. Let your love shine out forever. There we are, so I hope you enjoyed that. I think reading that and the earlier one on the Good Friday, make very nice reading indeed. Before I come on to what I call the other messages, that is the ones that are spiritually based, I thought I would move over to what I call my ET folder. I've got a couple of items there that may be of interest, and this week I will leave out the UFO so as to make room for it. Now, there's a young lady, I guess, called Sharla, and I have this extract from an email here. Unfortunately, for this one, I don't seem to have the original website, which is a shame, but she was talking in the article about purification within a holographic healing chamber, and saying that during the month of March, she placed herself in the Vesica Pisces, and she asked for more information in working with holograms, and she was lifted up through a very beautiful blue corridor of light that opened to a golden round platform, and there were a series of small steps that led her to a door, again golden in colour and light. And apparently this was a holographic healing chamber aboard an Arcturian ship, And she said that much healing and purification could be experienced here. I felt very light and excited at the prospect of making a small change that would, because of the hologram design effect, change in the whole and form a new pattern or infinite possibility. And talking about the healing chamber journey itself, she said, I sat in the crystal chair and reclined to a 45-degree angle. The screen became alive and was driven by my thoughts. At first it was scrambled and muddled. I was told to go no further until I could control the screen in a calm and grounded way. I became aware of my body lying on my bed at home and being in the chamber at the same time. Over a few minutes of harmonizing, a sound was made and I felt aware of both places, and the screen now had a beautiful geometry spinning in and out of form on the screen. I was asked if I wanted to bring back lost or disassociated energy. I said yes, and began to slowly turn the dial in my left hand. I only dialed back to the number 9, and soon a series of energy discs appeared on the screen, blowing up as far as I could see into the screen. From time to time, the discs would leave the line and float above in a small pile. After a time, there was a pile about 4 inches high of silver discs that looked just like CDs. I was aware of many guides and teachers being present in the room. And she said, I called upon Archangel Michael and Saint Germain, and by my beloved Arcturian guidance, they toned a beautiful sound, and a laser beam of light from my third eye and heart was unified and sent to the small pile of floating disc. Instantly, I felt a download from the disc. No story, no drama, just a flow of energy that felt comforting and welcoming. The floating disc now began to slowly return to the spaces they had previously held in the line. After the last one was in place and the whole line appeared to shuffle from right to left, the Arcturians explained once again that our lives consist of many holograms layered upon each other. And here, in the hologram, the holding of the energy from those discs would now change any experience or event that was in front or behind them, such as the beautiful and gift of the hologram. The crystal chair now began to gently spin to the left, and the sounds of colours became like a rainbow. I could feel every cell in my body being lit with this energy and light. Slowly the chair stopped and began to spin to the right. I was shown that this would align this energy with my physical 3D body that was quietly in meditation and which I was feeling and now very aware of. My time was complete in the chamber, and I thanked all who had been present and supported this incredible experience. There is more, of course. I've read again an extract out that I thought would be interesting. Next one I want to refer to is one that came off a site which is called exopolitics.org, and it was an article quoted on one written by Michael E. Salar. And it was about extraterrestrials and a program called Project Serpo. And they were musing over the fact whether it was a deception program, because the person involved, Richard Doty, who was a former special agent, was noted at one time for having given out disinformation. But when he was questioned on that, he more or less said, well, that was my job to do that as well. Anyway, I'll read you out one or two pertinent points from this article, because what this project was apparently about was for the exchange of personnel with a group of aliens. So I'll read you some little bits out to make that more clear. And just a couple of points about Richard Doty himself. Apparently, he began his U.S. Air Force career in 1968, and he was first trained for the Air Force security and later moved on to other security-related positions. Then he went on to join special investigations and so forth. Now, Doty co-authored with Robert Collins a book called Exempt from Disclosure. And in it, Doty describes a number of first-hand experiences, such as witnessing a large flying saucer at a classified Indian Springs facility in 1969. And it says, more significantly, Odie claims he was given access to a highly classified report that much UFO-related information concerning extraterrestrial biological entities, which from this point on we will call EBEs, that their communication system and an advanced technology. Doty further claims that in 1983 he had a face-to-face meeting at a secure facility in Los Alamos in New Mexico with an extraterrestrial biological entity. This one he calls EBE-2 from the constellation Ceta Reticulum. And he said, quote, about, this is from the book, of course, this extract, about 5 minutes later, in walks a 4'9" non-human looking creature. It was dressed in a tight-fitting cream-coloured suit. It had no hair and was identified as EB-2. EB-2 sat in a chair across the table from two civilians and a colonel, and he said, I listened while the three asked EB-2 a series of questions pertaining to its home planet. Now, apparently, these are all first-person experiences by Doty concerning classified UFO-related information rather than hearsay. And it goes on to say that he was briefed on a compartment involving EBEs and alien crashes near Corona and Batil in New Mexico. And in the book, he described a captured alien from one of these crashes, who he calls EB-1. From the Sioux, I've never heard of that before, it's spelled S-I-E-U, Sioux, in the constellation Ceta Reticulum, and he was in military custody from 1947 until its death in 1952. And Doty claims in his statement that in 1984 he was given another briefing and read a document that mentioned an exchange program between an alien race and the U.S. military personnel that lasted from 1965 to 1978. A little further on in this report, and there's 6 pages of it on, in this extract that I've got, so there's quite a bit to read if you go to the site. He says, and this is quoting Richard Doty again, in his statement to UFO magazine, Doty mentions a Colonel Jack Casey, a retired aircraft intelligence officer, and Doty claims that Casey personally confirmed the Project Serpo information concerning an alien exchange program. Casey claimed that in 1965, two military men were placed on an extraterrestrial spacecraft and flew to an alien planet 40 light years away. And Casey further claimed that the briefing provided by the 8 persons who returned in 1978 is still classified, and that all are now currently dead. And it says here, this is hearsay testimony, because Richard Doty did not personally learn this information from direct experiences. I'll read a final extract from this report, and it mentions that in the disclosure describing his face-to-face meeting with EB-2, and in the later classification, he claimed that he viewed the alleged meeting involving EB-2 on a video screen, and he saw them in the same room, after all. And this is where Doty makes some astounding claims regarding his EBE-related experiences. And this was related to the publication of his book in print. And then later he repudiated some of the important details, suggesting that the testimony was unreliable. That's virtually all I'm going to read, although there's one small section I could probably add for good effect. But I suppose what it is saying there is that perhaps he was forced to withdraw some of the information in the book. I guess most of it, would that be true? Would it have been approved? I don't know about that. If people deny the project, I suppose they try to kid you by that, that it's not real. Anyway, on the question of the alien exchange, it said, interesting but not totally correct, commenting on Anonymous's original email, well, I guess this is one that was mentioned in the book that Richard Doty quoted from, as for the exchange program, unauthorized release of classified information is as we see it, but maybe someone currently within our government wants it out. They did talk about two females being in the group that went to Sita Reticulan, but in this particular extract, it denies that they were sent, and it says that they were 12 men, all military, 8 USAF, 2 US Army, and 2 US Navy. 2 were doctors, 3 were scientists, 2 were language specialists, and 2 were security personnel. 2 were pilots, and 1 was the leader. So there we are. And they said both McGovern and Lakes confirmed vital aspects of the program, such as involving the military personnel who travelled to planet Serpo. And they lived on Serpo for over a decade, and 8 of them returned to Earth. So there we are. I'll leave that report there. I mean, if that whets your appetite, all you have to do is to go to that website to read the complete report. I had it in mind to read you some extracts from an 11-page email that turned up. It was headed Phone Call from an Alien and written by Preston Dennett. And it went on to title the article, A Flying Saucer Called Me Up. Now, I've only got the first page here because I felt that an article of that length maybe was too long to really do justice to in the time I had. But it's about a person called Jack Sarfatti, who apparently is today a prominent quantum physicist. And they say, apparently, unknown to many, he may owe some of his success to a very unusual experience, a phone call from a flying saucer. And the whole ordeal began more than 50 years ago. And just to quote a little of what he said, and that is that in 1952-53, when he was about 12 or 13 years old, he received a phone call in which a mechanical sounding voice at the other end said it was a computer on board a flying saucer, and they wanted to teach him something, and would he be willing? And that it was his free choice. And they said, would he be willing to be taught to communicate with them? And he said, I remember a shiver going up my spine because I said, hey man, this is real, of course. I was a kid, but I said yes. And apparently him and a few friends gathered in his bedroom awaiting the upcoming promised contact. And unfortunately nothing occurred, and Sarfatti assumed at first that it was just a clever practical joke. But according to Safati's mother, the first phone call was followed by a series of similar phone calls, each giving him information that would leave him forever changed. So that's all I can tell you about that one, which is a shame really, because maybe I should dig that one out again if I can and get a little bit more information for the next program. Now, we haven't got too much time left, and I do want to give a little space at least to a message or two that's come through this week. And there was one that came through the website ChristMichaelsGlobalSpiritualNetwork.com, and it was a message by Sananda, and I would say that it should be titled People Power, because that was what it was about. And what I will do is give you a few extracts here. This came out about 2 weeks ago. In fact, I see the actual message came through on the 8th of April. And Sananda said, now is the time to march forward and take back control of your country. You can move forward in confidence now, as the leaders of your nation are so shaken that they will crumble at the mere threat of anarchy. Do you see now that you are actually in power? You are in power. You have the upper hand now, and it is up to you to use it. Gather your peers and march for freedom. Call on your brothers and sisters of faith and take down any remaining obstacles to your sovereignty. It is up to you to prevail against tyranny and to abolish the laws made from lies. Your rights as citizens are far more superior to the rights of your leaders. They are outnumbered by those in the light and know this. Their weaknesses have been exposed and they are expecting their own demise. It is up to you to carry the legions of light workers to the fore and apprehend your corrupt leaders, and allow no untruth to rule over your day. We say this to you in urgency. We call to you now to stand tall and proud. You are the warriors of the new ways. Your fiery determination to do what's right is unstoppable, for it is written in your coding. You who have surpassed the ignorance of man have a responsibility now to put action where your knowledge wanes and to take your first step forward armed with the truth. It is up to you to awaken humanity, and deep down you know your role in this. We ask of you not to force your ideas upon others with words, but to take your part in the plan now with action. Your action will determine the strength of your will and see your will as honourable. What can you do, you ask? We have said to gather in numbers, for your strength increases with each new member of truth. Use this power and strength of numbers to raise the morale so high that you are an army of will. This army of light can take on thousands, even millions in the dark. Your displays of truth will inspire those of indecision to finally get off the proverbial fence. It will give the warriors of light a foundation to work from and a home base to energize. This mentality is not a foreign concept. It is the same work of those who fight for your country in ignorance. Yes, that is correct, isn't it, by and large, because we wonder how many of the troops who are fighting in Iraq are aware that it was an illegal war. I guess perhaps there's more than we care to give credit to. The message goes on to say that the waiting is over, now you march. For those who have long awaited the outcome, we say wait no more. Waiting does not initiate change. Change is a choice, an active choice, and choice is freedom. So choose to act now. Act the will of God, for ultimately you are the will of God. As you take this next step to your inevitable freedom, know that many march with you in the unseen. We are before you, with you, and ultimately behind you all the way. We have done much to prepare you for this time in your evolution. Now it is the time of your choosing. So what will you choose? Will you choose complacency, as so many have done before you? Will you choose world dominance and corruption by passive participation? Will you empower those to control with ill intentions? Will you gather in millions and make demands? Will you allow for no unjust law to be placed before you? Will you allow your rights to be restored and live freely in abundance? The choice is yours. You can make the choice to set yourselves free. I stand before you in great anticipation of your power, knowing your true capabilities. And that message is signed off, I am Sananda Emmanuel. That's nice. I mean, the message is somewhat longer than the extracts I've quoted you, but that seems to be the essence of quite a few messages that are around at the moment, and particularly from Sananda, who does come through a number of people. I have always got other backup messages ready, and next week I will be able to fully read one which I had prepared in case I could fit it in by, again, Jesus Sananda, and this was an extract from Michael Worldwide Newsletter, which is an excellent one I read every day, and this was an Easter message from Jesus. Now, the fact it was an Easter message is of no real relevance, in as much that the content of it is as valid now as it was when it came out for Easter. And it is the content that is very interesting and is, as you might say, down to earth, telling us where we are and what is happening with us at this particular time. And he was talking about becoming a bridge, as he did. And if I can just quote the opening few words, which will complete my program this evening, he said, "This Easter is the moment where all the realms of time align as one, forming the great cross of creation, the gateway to a new life. For the cross has ever been the symbol of the awakening of manifested life, knowing itself as spirit. Only now, this cross is shining across all of the heavens, a cross of light. Because of this, I come this year to be your Easter message." Well, I'll read that one more fully next week. I'm afraid my time is up, and as with everything else to do with time, it seems to have gone so quickly for me, and I hope you enjoyed it. I won't be with you next week because I shall be on vacation, so I hope to be with you in a fortnight's time. So God bless you all. Thank you for being with me.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.